Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, folks. It is hour number two of The Early Line right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. And DRS, I cannot help myself because yesterday we had the debut press conference of a one, Aaron Rodgers. How did it feel quickly here seeing Aaron out there with the Jets, the polo on, holding up the jersey? Did it feel right? Did it feel odd? What did you think?
It didn't quite feel right for me. And also, the more interesting was when he showed up to the facility. And, you know, I have all the social media there and the coaches waiting for him and he's dapping him up. But the Jets hoodie, like, really threw me off. Like, the question wasn't like, ooh, how's he going to be for the Jets? It was like, man, when did he get that hoodie? Did he buy that at the store coming in? Did they FedEx it to him and say, hey, here's a hoodie for day one? How did he get that before actually getting to the facility, Kevin? That's what I want to know.
I would get dropped it off at his hotel room, probably.
Did he have it for months?
Months ago, because this has been the case for months now at this point. I mean, he's had plenty of time. That, because for me, it didn't feel weird at all. Because in my mind, he's been a Jet for a long time. I mean, a really long time. This guy's been a Jet. And it's nice to see that he is actually a Jet now. And the one thing that I did, it's like, just like the first time seeing him kind of with the hat on and everything, where I was like, man, he really is having this like same exact career almost as Brett Favre. Like, it's kind of wild. Like, it's not the same exact, but it kind of is the same exact thing here for Rodgers now landing. I mean, the similarities are just obviously uncanny.
I mean, where's he living?
But Rodgers also, of course, what happened?
I mean, anywhere in your neighborhood area, Aaron Rodgers?
Sure, you think he would go to Queens? Honestly, you know what? He probably is staying in Queens. I mean, he probably is staying in Queens.
NJ, pal.
Why do you think he would be staying in Jersey? I don't know. That wasn't even a bit.
Uh-oh.
Can I just tell you that? That wasn't even a bit. When you asked me that question, I was like, I think he's staying in Queens? And the answer is yes, by the way. On. What? What's the beef?
No, so look, you're a resident in New Jersey. We have these conversations say, you know what, man? Since I've been in Jersey, man, my life has been absolutely tremendous. So that's what you get. You move out of the heart of the city in Queens. You come over to Jersey. You live a good life here. I think Aaron Rodgers can do the same.
Yeah, now Rodgers is, I'll tell you this. If he's staying in Queens, I know where he's staying. Not in a weird way, but just you start to dollars and cents and where he would be looking. Donnie, I'm just telling you, I know you like to tap phones and find things out. We can figure some things out. Quite frankly. Look, I do want to get to the Rodgers quote, though. He said since he's an older player, he wouldn't have gone to the Jets if he didn't think he could win. The exact quote, I'm an old guy, so I want to be a part of a team that can win it all. And then apparently as he walked past the singular Super Bowl trophy that is in the building, he said that it looked a little lonely there. Are those the expectations for the Jets? Because year after year after year in Green Bay, the expectation for Rodgers and the Packers was Super Bowl. I don't know if it was Super Bowl last year. I think people kind of eye-rolled them, and certainly as the season went on, people started to feel like that wasn't going to happen. Radio audiences live Thursday morning, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 159. But do you feel like those are the expectations for Rodgers with the Jets to go out there and win a Super Bowl?
1,000%, Kevin. Like, this isn't one of those moves that goes, let's just bring us back to, you know, where we can be on the back page once in a while in New York City, and we can make the playoffs and just have a feel-good vibe around it. You made this trade for Aaron Rodgers because of one thing. Over the next 2 to 3 years, you figure you are going to be in the mix for a Super Bowl. Now, winning it, boom or bust, we'll see, and I think it is. But this isn't one of those, like, hey, man, awesome. We got 10 wins, made it to a wild card round and got knocked out. That's exactly what we traded for and paid Aaron Rodgers for. Because let's keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers, Kevin, isn't making $10 million a year. He's probably the highest paid player in football once again, once that contract that gets renegotiated is on the table. It's boom or bust. They better feel like they can win it, because if not, what the heck are you making that trade for?
The team is 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. Here's who has better odds. Chiefs, Eagles, Bills, Niners, Bengals, that's the list. Just five teams, right? Yeah. And that last year was considered that elite, elite, elite group. So the Jets, in terms of expectations, are not far back. And yet, just minus 162 to make the playoffs, the New York Jets. And I'm sure some of that is because they're not favored in their division, and we know how that factors in. Yeah. But that really, I'm telling you, we are so far away from you and I doing NFL futures and stuff like that, but the fact that this team has Super Bowl expectations and is, I mean, essentially minus 150 to make the postseason is just such an interesting thing to see.
No, I think you're going down the right path here, because it's boom or bust for the Jets. But the question from you to me would be like, Donnie, do you think they will win the Super Bowl again next year? No, I actually don't. But it's boom or bust for them.
And look, I think ultimately it's kind of this weird. Like, if the Jets make the playoffs, they're obviously going to be very excited. If they win a playoff game, they're going to be very excited. But then, let's just say they got to the conference championship game and they lost. The talking point is not going to be, this was great. It's going to be, Rodgers lost the conference championship game again. We're going to the NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live here with you on the early line. DRS, before we get to Celtics-Hawks, the game, the same game parlay, I want to pull back for a second, okay? Boston is minus 155 to win the Eastern Conference now that the Bucks are eliminated. The Celtics have not advanced. They are the only, the Sixers, the Knicks, the Heat, all through. This series not over. And yet minus 155 on Boston. It's an interesting number. I am somebody, as I talked about in hour number one, I expect the Celtics to win the title, and I definitely like them to make it through the Eastern Conference here. However, are the odds not taking into account? Look, and I know, again, Boston is favored to get through tonight. We'll talk about that in just a minute here. But are they not also taking into account the fact that the Knicks 1-5, the Heat 1-5, the Sixers 1-4, and Boston is still going? Does Boston really deserve to have this strong of a price? I love their roster. I think they're going to be solid here. But I don't know. I would say this. I don't see value on Boston at minus 155.
No, there's not necessarily value, but if you're looking at it in its totality, they just got handed the biggest gift of all yesterday, the Bucks getting knocked out. Not for the NBA championship, just for the Eastern Conference in itself. Because what were we kept saying about the Celtics? Well, where would they get tripped up possibly? Well, they got to go through the Sixers and then the Bucks. They don't have to go through the Bucks anymore. And it looks like they're going to go through the Sixers without Joel Embiid if they do advance. Now, I'm saying that they might win tonight, the Celtics. They probably should. But if not, they're probably going to win in game seven. But you're right. They haven't closed it out, so it does give a little bit of that, are the Celtics really the team we actually thought they would be? But the same way we were taking a look at still with the Bucks down 3-1 going, hey, look, they're not being priced as if they're actually going to lose this series and there might be value. That's the way I look at the Celtics right now. I do think the Celtics now are clear and far away the best team in the East, and they'll probably end the series tonight with the Hawks, and away they go against a depleted Sixers lineup, which who knows when Joel's getting back, and then who they're going to face in the Eastern Conference Finals.
So for Boston, they not now only have home court advantage through the East. They, and this was going to be the case regardless, but just to put it into full perspective here, the Celtics now have home court advantage pure, no matter who they play, right? The Bucks were the only team that was going to be able to play game one and two in their own building up against the Celtics. So that is obviously a massive swing. I wonder how much the Embiid question mark factors into this pricing. You know, there's been no advanced series line on Boston Philly here. We don't know if or when, I should say, we're going to see Embiid. Right now, if you had to guess, and I know it's a pure guess, would you expect Joel Embiid to play game number one in Boston?
I wouldn't expect it, no.
Interesting. I feel like I tend to agree, which is such a mess, right? It's such a mess. Would you expect him back? I mean, would you expect him back by game two? I think he has to. I think he's played within the first two games.
And here's the shame of it all, because the way this series is, and let's just play devil's advocate, Kevin. The Hawks win the game against the Celtics to force a game seven, which means an ultra extended series and a lot of gas being used by the Celtics just to move on. Like, that game one is the game, if you're the Sixers, you feel the need that that's the one you have to steal. So you would play Joel Embiid and you say, okay, his knee's probably going to flare up after that game. You rest him for game two. Because I don't think you go into that series and go, okay, let's sit Joel in game one, we lose. And then the Celtics are like, okay, we're in this series now. Now we're focused. And then you get Joel Embiid in a tough place to play on the road and go down 0-2 with him playing. If there's any sliver of hope that Joel Embiid can play in games one or two, if I'm the Sixers, man, I'm trying to get him ready for game one, to be honest.
Absolutely. The Sixers are not in a position where it's like, game two.
You go down 0-2. It'll be fine. Yeah, go home. Stop. Yeah.
Exactly. That's certainly not going to be the notion at all. Let's get to this game, though. The Boston Celtics on the road are a 6.5-point favorite here. The total for this game is 232. As always, we like to try and provide you a little plus money to get in the way here, climb the ladder. I know, DRS, you've had a strong postseason with these here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So let's try and line up some same-game parlay action for the people here. Again, it is game number 6, Hawks-Celtics, same-game parlay. All right, get after it, DRS.
I'm going to take two Hawks and one Celtic tonight. This is a three-leg same-game parlay at the FanDuel Sportsbook for me. And when it cashes in, Kevin, it's a plus 177. So keep it nice, tight, and tidy. I lost yesterday, expecting a dub today. I'm going to take DeJounte Murray coming back on the home court here, not to score a ton of points, which I do think he's going to factor in. His usage rate, Kevin, was really high so far in the series when he has played. I'm just looking for him to knock down two or more three-point shots tonight. If we flip it over to the Celtics, it's like watching paint dry. Give me Jason Tatum to score 25 or more points in this game. And also, let's go from a rebound perspective and take a look at Clint Capella. Yesterday, one of the legs that did win for me was getting double-digit rebounds out of Anthony Davis for the Lakers. I'm going to take that same approach here. Clint Capella needs to be a monster on the glass, and I'm not even asking him to get the double digits, just get to 8. So Murray to make 2 threes, Tatum to score 25 or more points, and Clint Capella to get 8 or more rebounds. That is a plus 177 price. That's where I'm at tonight in the NBA.
Nice payout there. I have two guys, and you have both of them as well. Yeah. Up to Tatum to 30-plus. Tatum off of a loss is something that we've talked about here on this show before. He routinely will give you 30-plus points, and I especially like it coming off of an 8 of 21 shooting performance and 1 of 10. Oof. 1 of 10 from beyond the arc there. Tatum could very well, and he hasn't in this series, only scored over 30 once, and it was 31 points. Tatum very well could explode tonight here. 35-40 type of performance. And I really like DeJounte Murray. This is very narrative-driven, admittedly, but the idea for me, and I'm curious if you'll agree here, don't you think if you're Murray, there's a bit of ownership in the way that you missed one of the games for your team, what would have been the potential last game of the season there? He's hit this, by the way, in every game, which is obviously a nice little thing to factor in as well. But if I just look at DeJounte Murray tonight as someone that's going to really try and insert himself into this basketball game due to missing game number 4 here, or game number 5 in Boston.
Yes, and I like where you're going with this, because let's take a look from a human standpoint here of a player. You feel like you let your team down. You let your emotions get caught up so much in the moment that you got tossed out of a game where if you lose, your team goes home for the season. Now, granted, I didn't think even if DeJounte Murray played or didn't play, it should have had any factor in the Celtics actually winning that game. But if it feels like they had your back, right? Like, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to handle our business. We'll get you back for game six. And they did that. So you feel like you owe it to the team, maximum effort and performance on your home court, and also to the fan base. Hey, my bad. I should never have done that, but I'm here in game six. Let's get a win. I like where you're going with that.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you have a look at here tonight? Look, I'll just say, for me, for those that have been with us on BATR, I have all these series-long wagers that I really wish the Celtics could have just ended this last game. Threes leader, points leader, rebounds leader. So I'm already kind of long-term invested going into tonight. Trae Young's number up to 28.5. I have to admit, I'd probably go under. I don't know if Trae Young, with DeJounte back in the lineup, goes again for 30-plus against this defense here. What are you looking at otherwise quickly in this game?
I do think the Celtics win the game, but am I willing to lay the 6.5? Not necessarily. But even though it's a playoff series and the playoffs, some teams slow down, the 232 still looks appealing to me. I think both of these offenses really get after it. And that's the basis of our same game parlay. We're not going unders here because we think these teams will be tense. I think they just let loose. And also the fact that Trae Young had a big game last game, maybe he's feeling it after that big 3-point shot and we get some of the more logo 3-point attempts here tonight.
Yeah, look, I totally agree. This 232, if it goes under, so be it. But now that the Hawks offense seems more established in this, and I think Boston, again, has the opportunity to have themselves a very big night offensively, I don't mind that 232 look at all. Keep it right here. We go to the Major League Baseball board next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, we're going to break down some NFL draft information in about 15 minutes or so. I'll let you know, Will Anderson is down to plus 125 to go second overall. I will say this quickly, and because I don't want to spend too much time on this next segment because we already have, but let me just say this quick. It is a shame. You were going to be such a Texans guy, and now you are going to, I know you, dig your heels in and despise this team next year. That is a shame. I have a question for you. Hold on. Time out. I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off even though I just asked you. Hold on. The Texans picked 12th. Are you open to the idea that the Texans are going to come back around and take quarterback with that second pick or trade up even with that second pick and go Will Anderson and say Anthony Richardson?
It's because they do have the two first rounders, which you can make some maneuvers there, and maybe they'll have that perfect, like, hey, we threaded the needle. We knew we could get Will Anderson, and we knew around the league where maybe one quarterback was going to drop, and that could take place, but I would be so upset. And you're right, I hold grudges here. If the Texans draft Will Anderson, number two, or defensive player, I will hold a grudge. I will do that.
Folks, it is so true. And here, I'll just say this, and then we'll go to baseball. You will be in a very good position to win in your eyes if you kind of lay the groundwork against the Texans. So I actually look forward to that quite a bit. Let's get to the Major League Baseball board, though, here, shall we? We start this thing off in the NL East. It is the Marlins. It is the Braves in action here. Early start time, which you love to see, right against Garrett, Atlanta, around minus 200 on the money line.
Yeah, we should be able to have some fun this afternoon, maybe pick out some RBI props. But if you take a look at this game, it is an interesting one. It's an early start, so sometimes you got to make sure you see who's actually in the lineup, who's in and who's out, which is going to make a difference. But if you take a look at right on the season, Kevin, a 5.15 xFIP number, which is elevated. Not enough strikeouts for me, too many walks. But also, take a look at this. A right-handed pitcher, he's dominating, Kevin, against right-handed batters this season to the tune of a 297 weighted on base percentage. And how about this? 44 batters he's faced from the right side and ice. so? Absolute zero there, which is impressive. But the left side, tells a different story. A 427 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 412. So if you are a left-handed batter, maybe you can get after. But here's the issue, Kevin. Looking at the lineup today for the Marlins, 1-2, that's it. Two left-handed batters out of seven. So you're not going against exactly, you know, the game plan that you think would be successful here. Garrett on the opposite of the side here. Left-handed pitcher, filthy against left-handed batters. An ISO of 050 and a weighted on base percentage of 276. However, take a look at him from the right-hand side, being a left-handed pitcher. A 351 weighted on base percentage and a 172 ISO, which is slightly above. You're looking right in the middle of that lineup today for the Braves. Riley, Murphy, and Albies all batting from the right-hand side. Look at these ISO power numbers. 370, 462, and 344 for his left-handed pitching. If you want a shot at RBI, you're going to go to the middle of that order for the Braves today in this game.
All right, take a look there. I will. When you started doing the 1-2, I thought it was just going to be like two players in the lineup that are even like good at baseball for the Marlins there. So good for them that that wasn't the case. We keep this moving here. It's the Dodgers and the Pirates once again. Urias has the ball. Is this wrong to say it's only minus 168 only for the Dodgers? I just feel like Dodgers-Pirates, even if it's in Pittsburgh, you usually expect their number one starter to post a bigger number.
Yeah, and by the way, you're going to get a lot of right-handed bats in the lineup going against Urias, the lefty, which you figure would be the advantage, but is it? Based on the early season this year, 3.75 xFIP, which is very good for Urias. 26% strikeout rate, doesn't walk too many batters. How about this? 94 batters he's faced from the right side, which again, he is a left-handed pitcher. A 307 weighted on base percentage and a 169 ISO, which are both in that realm where it's like, hey, he's doing his job. How about this, though? To left-handed batters, a pitcher of this dominance, you should figure he'd be able to easily get them out. He's only faced 16, but look at the ISO power number through those 16 batters, Kevin. A 500 from the left-hand side, but again, it's who you're going to have at the plate. Sawinski is the only lefty doing the lineup today, so you're going to get eight right-handed batters, so really feeding into what Urias has absolutely have gotten out. But on the flip side here, Keller's done very well for himself also, a right-handed pitcher. XFIP is a little bit high, but has a decent K rate. Look at the splits, though. 304 to lefties weighted on base percentage, 311 to righties here. Now, this is what you want to make up because Keller's having a decent season, but look at this lineup here. A couple big bats in there. Betts at 364 weighted on base percentage. Martinez, 411. Outman, 444. Vargas, 361. And Bush at a 390. So it's whether or not you like the fact that this team presents well against right-handed pitching, or do you trust Keller on the mound, who's done a great job of getting both lefties and righties out in the lineup today? Should be a good one. And again, who would have thought this would be a premier matchup? Dodgers-Pittsburgh here early in the season.
Yeah, certainly an interesting. The Dodgers are 13-12. They are 13-12, man. Like somebody in that NL West has to capitalize on this because you always expect at some point they're going to flip it around, and then the Padres just sat there at 13-13. I know it's early, but man, is that a missed opportunity? It's actually the Diamondbacks at 14-12 who right now hold the lead. Speaking of those Padres, they play the Cubs. The Cubs kind of rule. Cubs are awesome. I like this Cubs team. This Cubs team's fun here, right? Let's keep it moving then and take a look at what the lines give us here. Seth Lugo, minus 135 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total here is an 8.5. Wisniewski takes the mound for the Cubbies. This has to be Padres.
Yeah, if we're taking a look here in the afternoon, not necessarily here for the Padres, but I do give him a slight lean. But let's take a look here with Wisniewski. He's a right-handed pitcher, a 5.38 xFIP on the season. He's only striking out 15% of the batters that he's faced. That'll get you in trouble. Now take a look at this. Right-handed pitcher doing very well against right-handed batters, Kevin, to the tune of a 278 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 122. But it tells a different story against left-handed bats. 35 of those he's faced on the season, a 477 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 367. Now let's line up some RBI shots on the team. Juan Soto, due to hit second in the lineup, a left-handed batter, 250 ISO power number, 388 weighted on base percentage versus right-handed pitching. And also, Matt Carpenter, 333 ISO power number with a 388 weighted on base percentage. So not a great-looking lineup here for the Padres going into today, but two batters I do believe have decent shots to pick up some RBI. Now, let's take a look at Lugo. Look at these numbers for him. A 3.24 xFIP, a K percentage around 25%, but look at the splits, Kevin. Right-handed pitcher, Lugo, 299 to lefties, a weighted on base percentage to righties at 266. Both ISO numbers also extremely low, so the lean would be against the Padres, but come on, Padres. That lineup is too talented to be struggling here. Where I only find two advantages in the lineup that I want to use, I still give the nod to the Pods, though.
All right, we'll continue again to try and find some value here on this board. Just want to see if San Diego can, again, take advantage of a slumping Dodgers team. As we push forward here, the Cardinals and the Giants are at it once again. San Fran at home in this ball game are favored as supposed to be their ace. Logan Webb has the ball. He's got a 1-4 record, though. Right now, DRS, that is not how that is supposed to go if you are the San Francisco Giants. What do you want to do here with this game?
Yeah, his numbers should improve there, particularly in the win column. Why? Because Miles Michaelis has been terrible this year so far to start the season. A 451 xFIP number, a K percentage under 20%. But look at these splits. 56 batters from the left-hand side, a 443 weighted on base percentage. To righties, a 392, both elevated. If we look at the anticipated lineup today for those San Francisco Giants, even the first five batters here, Kevin, 403, 340, 464, 384, 381, all with elevated ISO power numbers as well. You should get some hits and some good RBI looks today. And how about this? Balmy out in San Francisco for a day game around 67 degrees. I do think the San Francisco Giants pick up the win, and also good chances at some RBIs today from the boys.
Ah, keep your eyes peeled, folks, at Right Side VP. Those RBI props have been a lot of fun this season. A's Angels makes the cut. Why? Ohtani has the ball. -350. The run line's -156. Ohtani is supposed to shove here against the A's. I do feel like he starts against the A's. They're doing a nice job of making sure he's always pitching against Oakland, I got to tell you, out there in L.A. How do you line this one up?
I'm telling you, the only reason why we're bringing it up because Ohtani is out there to go against up the A's, because as we start to talk about guys in the NFL draft that we're not so sure are actually real players there due to be drafted in the top five, it looks like outside of Jesus Aguiar, who I know, there's eight plants in the lineup here for those Oakland Athletics. He should peel through this lineup with ease, but again, who's laying that high of a number, man? Come on now.
I mean, just best bet it, man. I mean, you know what? FanDuel Sports.
I mean, a guy named Note is in the lineup. Like, who is that? Yeah.
Bright.
You know?
I mean, who do you believe in more, Nota or Tyree Wilson? Which guy do you believe in more?
Could be the same guy. It's like that's like the Spider-Man meme out there with both pointing at each other. Like, who are you? I don't know. Who are you?
Right. I'll tell you what, I'd love to see a photo of those two guys together to check out the disparity. Quickly, White Sox Rays here. McClanahan has the ball against Cease on the road. Dylan Cease is a home dog. Boy, the White Sox are not viewed as a legitimate squad here, huh?
No, they're not viewed as a legitimate squad because their bats certainly need to wake up. But also talking about the bats waking up here. Look, I know we take a look at it's been about a month in the Major League Baseball season, but the Rays got shut out again yesterday there by the Astros. What's the deal? The lineup still presents well, but so does Cease. But I'm looking more of an under in this game. I don't think we're going to get too many runs being plated.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you done with the Rays? Are you done with the Rays?
Did we use them up already? Yeah. I don't know.
Back. Both of these teams have been shut out in consecutive games coming into this.
I mean, give me a Wald to Chuck start against the Rays here. We're back in. Like, can that happen? Just make it happen.
I'd love to take my chance pitching against the Rays. What do you think my xFIP would be, DRS?
I don't know. You'd be confused with low and loud, though. I know that.
No doubt. All right, we'll be right back. NFL Draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Draft season. The NFL draft is tonight. Round number one, it all begins. Your best bets, your looks, the breakdowns. We will have you covered all day long on the network, and we will be live with an NFL draft special tonight, so make sure you are on the grid for that. DRS, as we continue to look through this, we've talked, we know, number one, it's Bryce. Number two, I'm pretty sure it's Will Anderson. The odds say it's Will Anderson. You don't like the pick. I got you. Three, if Arizona stays, things could get wild. I think they're trading, and it's why CJ's the favorite. At four, it is still Will Levis right now on the board at plus 115. Then it's CJ at plus 175. Then it's Anthony Richardson at plus 350. Very apparent the expectation is the Colts will sit there and draft a quarterback. That's what's, I mean, maybe they could go up to three and get the quarterback if they're worried. And then at five, you start to see some minus money creep in, which is really fascinating, right? We don't have clear answers at two, three, or four, but at five, we have a minus 180 price on Jalen Carter, as the reports are saying that the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll specifically love the Georgia defensive lineman.
Yeah, and it makes some sense, too, because when you're looking from a Seattle perspective, they have their quarterback. Now, you want to say, like, maybe he can't win a Super Bowl with Geno, okay, but they signed him some good money. They expect him to be there for at least the next 2 to 3 years. We don't think they're going quarterback, and if they don't trade out, you take the best player available on the board, which some would say take out the quarterbacks here. If you think Bryce Young is, like, the number one overall player on your draft board, some would say that the defensive players then creep up in there ahead of guys like Will Levis and C.J. Stroud, and that's why you have Jalen Carter. That's a great pick. If you sit there, even if the board falls to you, right, Kevin, and you say, wow, look at all the trades, 1, 2, 3, and 4, we're not necessarily looking for a quarterback here, so we actually get the best defensive player on the board, which could be Will Anderson in that spot or Jalen Carter. I think it makes sense there for Seattle to do that. I'll tell you where it could get a little bit tricky, though, with that fourth overall pick, which let's just say it is the Colts. What happens if the Colts, like, switch spots, let's just say, with Arizona to make sure they get their guy, flip one spot back? That then turns it interesting to say, is that a defensive player that you're getting now at four, as opposed to a quarterback, and some big money can be on the board at that spot? This is what we love. We know who the number one guy is going to be, but 2, 3, 4, and 5 right now, or excuse me, at least 2, 3, and 4, really up for grabs, and there's some plus money if you can read between the lines and hit the home run there.
What also, though, happens with stuff like this, guys start to fall. Play along with me here, right? Bryce at 1, Will Anderson at 2, CJ at 3, Levis at 4, Jalen Carter at 5, Devin Weatherspoon at 6, where he's a minus 150 favorite to be selected by the Lions. We are now at 7, and we have both Anthony Richardson and Tyree Wilson still on the board. Now, the expectation is that the Raiders are not going to be drafting a quarterback. 12-1 to take Richardson, 9-1 to take C.J. Stroud. A lot of people think that they could take Christian Gonzalez, the corner, out of Oregon. Tyree Wilson's plus 450. Let's say they take who they're favored to in Christian Gonzalez. Well, now all of a sudden the Falcons are on the board at 8, but here's where we start to then think about trade-ups. When they keep talking about this Eagles team trading up for edge talent, is that just Will Anderson, or does Tyree Wilson also fit that description? Is it just Will Anderson and Jalen Carter? Okay, those are the kind of things that you have to think about here. And that's where this draft starts to shift. But also, where's that landing spot, Donnie, right, for this scenario that I'm playing out here for Anthony Richardson? Who's coming in? Are the Falcons going to do it at 8? I don't think so. And that's also why I bring up the Texans coming away with Anderson at 2 and Richardson on a trade up, maybe to 8. Maybe to 9, whatever it might be, is very live here when I look at this whole thing.
Now, it really is, because we have to remind ourselves sometimes, because what have we been talking about for the past couple weeks with the Houston Texans? What are you doing with the number 2 pick? And it's almost like, you know, most people say, like, oh, they'll probably draft defense like you would think, or I think they're going to trade out and or draft a quarterback. But we forget that they have another high draft pick here that you can sort of leverage as well. Do they like what they have? Do they get trade up again? Because you can get Will Anderson too, then move up into the top 10 with all the rest of your draft capital and spend some of that to get the quarterback if you feel he is falling here. So it is an ace up their sleeve, where it's not so much of the way I'm playing it out, which I'm playing it up because I don't think they should go defense number 2. But theoretically, they could say, you know what? We can't risk Will Anderson after two because somebody's probably going to come up and grab him. Whereas we take him now, we think one or two of these quarterbacks could fall. And if you have them evenly rated on your board, like let's just say they go, hey, you know what? Will Levis and Anthony Richardson are the same guy to us here. We'd be happy with both of them. Let's see if one slips. And if they do slip to 7 or 8, we can move up and we have capital to go get him here. So it is nice that the Texans aren't all in at number two as if they don't have more than one first round draft pick, which they do.
Then to close out the quarterback conversation, it's minus 148 for there to be 5 QBs taken in the opening round. Is the floor 4? And then we're just asking, yes. Is Hendon Hooker going in round 1? Is that where we are in this conversation?
Yes, and also we have to remind ourselves, you know, because you have to play the angle that makes sense to NFL GMs, Kevin. And also this is why it makes so much sense with Hendon Hooker. Most people would say, why would you draft him that high? He's coming off a knee injury. Get him in the second round or the third round here. Well, NFL GMs have to understand you're probably not going to get much out of Hendon Hooker this year, if anything, which if you draft him in the second round, Kevin, only gives you 3 years. The first round gives you the 5 years. So you're actually buying an extra year on Hendon Hooker if you feel he needs like a rehab year, a quote unquote redshirt year. That's why it's so big where you take a look at the 4.5. It's not as if like you can't draft an injured quarterback in round 1. Like, no, if you think he's going to be a good quarterback, you can't risk him only having 4 years.
It's a good point. And it's right in that range of trade up, right? Opportunities here. Also, do just keep in mind that just one of those things that'll sneak up on people. There are only 31 picks tonight in the first round. Due to some picks being lost kind of through the shuffle there. So just keep that in mind. If we're then taking a look at some position over-unders, running backs, 2 of them, minus 320. Jahmyr Gibbs now seems to be a slam dunk first rounder. Tight ends, 2.5, plus 144. We basically know that Michael Mayer and Dalton Kincaid are going to be going inside round number 1. Will a third guy get into the equation? Total number of wide receivers is pretty interesting. Minus 174 over 3.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think, would qualify as a lock. Zay Flowers, I think, would qualify as a lock. You then look at Jordan Addison and Quentin Johnson with the potential for maybe Jalin Hyatt to enter the equation here as well. Again, when you're betting the draft, you can't treat it like your typical minus 110, minus 115s. Those are there, but minus 174 isn't crazy to pay, I think, if you want to bet the NFL draft. Over 3.5 wide receivers is a tempting number to me.
No, it is a tempting number because I got 6 guys. When you said like in the mix, like where's your chances coming from? Because I had Johnson, Flowers, Addison, Downs, Smith and Jigba, and Hyatt as legitimate chances. And you're trying to see how the NFL is evolving here. Wide receiver is a high chip now, which maybe 20 years ago, the running back was the high chip mark. If you are a team drafting in the late 20s here and you have a guy falling like a Jalin Hyatt, you got to snap him up on that because those are the guys that you're leading to victory. And also from the previous drafts, young wide receivers have stepped right in and done damage if they're talented enough. I like that look here. 4 wide receivers in the first round of those 6 that I just named, we should be able to get that.
Yeah, 100%. Continuing to move through this board here and see where there is some intrigue. Team draft specials is a very interesting market. And there was one I wanted to make sure I brought up. Position of Green Bay Packers first player drafted.
Yes, good one.
Tight end plus 170.
Oh,
wide receiver plus 230. Wow. They seem to be. Look, I promise you tomorrow we are going to come on here and laugh a lot no matter what they do because either they're going to take a skill position player as soon as Rodgers leaves or they will once again not take a skill position player, which would be nuts. I will say, it is not a consensus that tight end is the favorite to be the Packers pick. A lot of wide receiver looks for people.
By the way, the Green Bay Packers here, Kevin, just within the last like 24 to 48 hours, defensive lineman was actually the favorite there. So it's interesting to see that the tight end position at a plus 170 now and the wide receiver position at a plus 230. Now, if it is a tight end, Kevin, some people are saying out there, watch out for that Ball State kid. So there you go.
You know what, man? People right now are just doing some insane levels of research.
We're gonna leave that. On the Muncie, Indiana. Yes, we're gonna leave that there.
Yeah. We're gonna leave that right there, and let people try and figure that out. Let's bring the Philadelphia Eagles into equation here, because the Eagles are a big swing, I think, for a lot of people in this draft. Look, if you're someone that's betting to be a top 10 pick, are the Eagles picking at 10? And that applies both ways. Skoronski's the favorite right now at plus 240. Paris Johnson's your second choice at plus 430. I'm seeing a lot of Nolan Smith right now, who is at plus 450 to be this selection. But also, Bijan Robinson is campaigning his tail off to be a Philadelphia Eagle, DRS.
Yes, and he should, because that is the perfect spot for a guy like Bijan Robinson to play with an athletic quarterback in a read option system, and also a system that will get him out in space as a satellite running back. It would be a fantastic spot to line up for him, and knowing he's not going to a team that's like, hey, what's the upside? I don't know, 4 wins at this point. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to factor into the playoff race in the NFC, no doubt about it, and maybe even into the Super Bowl race. So for him to say, I guess outside of Patrick Mahomes, the Eagles are the place I want to be, and also some of the pundits saying, hey, if he goes to the Eagles, offensive rookie of the year, you probably should give it to him before the season even starts.
That, by the way, I do think those odds usually drop. I don't know if they wait for the full draft to be over. But yeah. So we might be doing that on next Monday. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do, because Bijan is going to command a lot of respect in the marketplace. But I think Bryce Young is going to be a day one starter for Carolina. And we know quarterbacks are quarterbacks there. I don't know how they're going to play that market when it comes available. Offensive rookie of the year. I tend to think Bryce is going to be the favorite because he's a quarterback.
Yeah, because you should be able to pencil him in for at least 3,500 yards and probably around 20 touchdowns. Now, Frank Reich is a quarterback guru. He's going to be in a good system, but you're right about that. At no point in the season, it's like, hey, week 7 not playing that well, he's going to be benched. His numbers will be there. Will they be great numbers? I don't know, but they'll be much, much better than probably some of the other quarterbacks that will be drafted in the first round, because he is going to be the franchise guy from day one the minute he gets into the building.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see, but also, you know, we basically feel like we know where Bryce is going. Bijan's price on the Texans versus on the Eagles versus on the Falcons, I think, are all different numbers here. So we'll see how it plays out. We will keep you involved throughout the day. Donnie is at Right Side VP. I am at the Kevin Walsh. We'll be live on Moneyline as well at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And Sports Grid will have you covered on Draft Day all the way through. But before you go anywhere, folks, make sure you listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day here for a Thursday morning of the early line, Sirius XM channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Today, myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, as always, powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. with the hottest topics on the sports landscape, setting the table for the rest of your Sports Grid programming, which does include the morning after coming up next with Ben Stevens. Can't wait for today. The NFL draft finally on deck. Months and months and months jockeying for position. Where are these players going? Odds moving on the board. Did one team tell a certain player that he was going number one overall? Which was enough to move the odds in a certain direction against Bryce Young. But here we are tonight, ready to go on the Sports Grid Network. Certainly the place that you want to be. NBA action, it's been outrageous. The first round is delivering heavyweight shots every night. Haymakers left and right. And that continues tonight. We'll see if the Atlanta Hawks can stay in their playoff series with the Boston Celtics. The Stanley Cup playoffs here also in Boston. Seemingly, they can't close out their opponent in the Florida Panthers. They're going to another Game 6 there. But also, Major League Baseball, fantastic stuff across the board today. A lot of afternoon baseball, which we love to see, with big games tonight, which do include, as we said, the NBA and also the NFL draft. But there's something coming up here which ended yesterday. And I told you, Don't let it become personal. And I did. Listen up. And down go the Bucks. Yeah, they lost. And also, I lost money on them because they lost their series to the Miami Heat. Where do we see this coming? The number one overall seed in the East, the team that we thought would be the most talented team and the favorites in the clubhouse to possibly win an NBA championship. They don't even make it out of the first round, and they basically didn't even put up a fight. We didn't even get to game seven here. But what does the future hold for the Bucks? So talented, but yet so many players up for free agency and maybe changes, which include their head coach. But for me, making it personal, doubling down here. Nope, take more of the Bucks here, even though they were down 3-1 in that series, which I did, and I lost. Food for thought. Don't do that again. But I'm a human being. I probably will do it again. Stay tuned for Ben Stevens coming up next, right here on the grid. It's the morning after coming up next.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.